Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of August, recording at 10 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were firmer pretty much across the boards. China indices, Australia also up 2% or more. And the European stock market indices were mostly firmer. Exceptions were Spain and Italy. A good bounce here in the SMI. That's Switzerland up 1.68%. DAX up over 1%. But the big gains occurred in the Americas. And the Dow is up 3%, nearly 3.5% for the S&P 500. We also had the NASDAQ composite up 4.29%. Canada 2.25%, Brazil 2.5%, so strong gains. And in long-dated government bond prices, we had some weakness in the U.S. Treasuries, down 1.25 points for the long bond. That's the 30-year bond future. And the U.S. dollar was a bit easier in here today. We've got sterling at 165. We've got the euro up to 144 and 41 ticks. We've got the Aussie up to 105.25. And in commodities, the big story here today is gold, which had a downside key day reversal. It's currently at 1828, having been up to 1913 earlier on. We also had a smaller key day reversal on silver, which is down 140 as I speak, at 41.96. And platinum fell nearly $40 back to 1866. Palladium, which had not participated very much in the rally, is down just $3 as I speak. Industrial metals were mostly firmer, including copper. Copper's up to 403 cents. The grain and bean complex firmer again today, except for rough rice, which was unchanged, but corn, soybeans, and wheat are all higher. Sugar's firmer. And so is crude oil. Brent back up above, back to the $110 level. And the WTI crude is at 85.81. That's up $1.39. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, we're certainly getting plenty of churning going on in the stock market activity overall. And if we look at visualize the pattern, and I'll post a number of these when I get comment up, if you visualize these, stock markets plunged down in the first half of first week and a bit of August. It actually started in July, late July. And we saw bottoms to date on the 8th or 9th of August. We saw a brisk rally, but only lasting a few days. We've seen a pullback, testing, and in a few instances, just exceeding the earlier lows in August. But a majority of indices, including the Standard & Poor's 500 index, finding support a little bit above its low on the 8th or 9th of August. So we have a trading range here, quite a volatile trading range, and the big question technically is this a distribution beneath overhanging top formations, or is it a support building process? Well, I would, as a support building process, as we saw this time last year. Well, at Fuller Money, we're a bit less optimistic than we were this time last year, when we felt that the technical evidence was improving quite rapidly. Here we have these bigger overhanging top formation characteristics, and we don't have a catalyst, at least not yet. We had the QE2, although the Fed never calls it QE2, but that's what it everybody else branded it, which had been announced. And we did not have the same extent of growth slowdown that we see here today. So in terms of catalysts right now, we would need either some stimulus for the from the Fed, and the news tapes suggest that investors are hoping for some sort of stimulus package to emerge from Jackson Hole, where Bernanke is meeting with colleagues over the weekend. We've had a former IMF director, not the one arrested recently, calling for a program in the Financial Times, for calling for an IMF-led program to lend money to indebted countries. That may have added a little bit to today's sentiment. And the big one, though, I feel, is that we need to see a shift in the growth economies of Asia. But are they going to do that with commodity prices still quite firm? And my conclusion, and this is not the first time I've mentioned this, is that they'd probably be quite reluctant to do that unless they become frightened over the extent of the slowdown in GDP growth, and therefore look beyond the current firmness of commodity prices. But that's maybe a big ask, but we'll see. But my feeling is that without a stimulus, these trading ranges are more likely to be continuation to the downside. More importantly, though, is what the chart is, the fact that the charts will actually show us. So here's what you'd want to look for. If this is a support, if these trading ranges since the 8th of August are a support building process, and the correction is, which I've dubbed a bear market, hopefully only a short, sharp bear market, but if it's over, then we would expect to see last month's rally highs taken out with sustained upward breaks. They would still be below the top formations in most instances, but a recovery begins one step at a time, and that first important step would be to see closes above last week's rally highs that held. Conversely, were we to see sustained breaks or just breaks below the lows of the 8th or 9th of August that lasted for more than a day or two, that would reaffirm the overall downward bias. Another technical indicator to watch would be Treasury bonds. If Treasury bond yields were to see a sharp rally, and I think they're overdue for a sharp rally, that would mitigate somewhat the recession and Japan following fears that many people in the markets have been expressing recently. Conversely, if yields don't rally, and let alone go lower, that would certainly be forecasting a recession. So, it's all to play for, as they say. I would be cautious in here, and I do feel that a number of equities are attractively valued, not least Fuller Money Themes. We prefer the high-yielding multinational companies at this time, the autonomies, as I've called them. But I wouldn't pay up for anything, and if one does buy, I would only do so incrementally. I'm still keeping my powder dry, to coin a phrase. Now, what about precious metals in here today. I mentioned the key day reversals that we have seen, and it wasn't actually, it was gold, silver, and platinum. So those are at minimum warning shots across the bow that the rally is maturing. It's more of a concern, I think, for gold, which was clearly overextended relative to its rising 200-day moving average. Can't really say that about silver or platinum, although platinum had run hard to get back up to the top of its range. Remember, the platinum price was below that of gold. What was it, just about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago? So, certainly, at minimum, warning shots across the bow. A bearish sign would be follow through tomorrow that lasts beyond the opening. In other words, follow through to the downside for U.S. closing prices would confirm the key and indicate that at least a short-term reaction was underway. So, not easy to deal in these markets here right now, and my reopening of a silver long, it's still only one third of the position I had not that long ago, but the timing was pretty mediocre. With momentum trading, you're either an instant hero because the momentum is maintained, in other words, it goes up for at least one more day, or you are an instant goat. But in going in comparatively small on that purchase, I'm in a position to increase it if I wish to, and that's one of my one of the options that I'll be considering here. And I'm certainly not going to chuck it out on that evidence today, because one of the reasons I chose silver is that it had more underlying support. And if gold keeps going up, as I think we will see in the fourth quarter of this year and the first quarter of next year, I think silver could at least track it and quite possibly catapult higher. But we will see. As we say, and the trading environment out here is treacherous to say the least. I'm concerned about the higher oil prices, and more importantly, those central banks in Asia will not be happy about them, and it may stay their hand in terms of. Certainly in terms of reversing their monetary tightening bias, although they may move to a neutral stance. And here, there are certainly grounds for that right now. As far as the European area is concerned, the problems remain. Confidence is low. The region that wasn't already in recession is very close to recession, includes Germany and Holland, France, but I'm not a big bear of the region overall, because I think so much of this is priced into market action, and I am impressed now to see that. A point is I can see the. Light at the end of the metaphorical tunnel here, because this crisis has pushed Europe towards the fiscal union that everybody really knew had to take place if the single currency was going to last beyond its first significant recession. Well, we've got the first significant recession. That started in 2008, and I think that there's widespread belief now among the European leaders that they do have to move towards this fiscal union, and I think that's exactly what they will do. It may seem that they're being dragged kicking and screaming, because there'll be one voice for the for the voting populations, and they're within their own countries, and there'll be another voice around the European Union meetings. But that's what they're going to do, and therefore I think that events should gradually improve, but it's a very long haul, and we've known that really from 2008 onwards to deal with all these debt problems. The same applies to the U.S. And what else to mention in terms of markets? Graham Bean Complex, still too firm overall. And that, therefore, we've still got a commodity inflation problem. If prices were just to hold here, it wouldn't be a crisis. The crisis was the shock earlier on, particularly when we had that spike in crude oil. And that's taken its toll in terms of GDP growth. But for a full reset, which I think is what we need to get a sustained stock market run to the upside, I think we definitely need lower commodity prices. I've said that in plenty of other broadcasts, and I'll continue to say it because, to me, that's the big impediment here right now, commodity price inflation. And we're left with stagflation in the West, and we have a genuine inflation problem within the Asian regions, and thus their tighter monetary policies of late. So, certainly not many dull moments in these markets these days. Let's see what tomorrow brings. Meanwhile, all the best.